Hello, everyone. Welcome to a bonus episode of the Weebcast. I'm Tony, and today I'm joined by Frigg, Jejun.
Death to the New World Order, and death to Chiyu!
And Disco from Kino Quickly.
Welcome.
Disco. Disco, would you like to introduce yourself real quick? I feel like a lot of people aren't going to know you.
Yeah, I run a show called Kino Quickly where I review movies. It's really good.
It's really good. You can find that on most podcasting things.
I think like basically all the ones people use.
Yeah, and Disco Kino on Twitter. Anyway, today we are doing Anime Crime Division. Disco, would you like to tell us what Anime Crime Division is about?
Yeah, so I'm a huge Wong head. I'm a big fan of Freddie Wong. He's the Asian guy who does videos on the YouTube where he's like really cool and shoots a lot of guns. And he did a few years back a series called Video Game High School, and I absolutely loved it.
Classic.
And then I found out he came out with a new series called Anime Crimes Division, starring ProZD as a fat Asian. And it's like a crime drama set in like a futuristic cyberpunk city where everybody watches anime.
He called it Neo Otaku City.
Neo Otaku City.
Yes.
Yes.
And in the universe of Anime Crimes Division, not really that anime is real per se, but just, you know, everyone that lives in Neo Otaku City like thinks that anime is real and kind of treats it as such in their daily life. Also, the United States is balkanized into multiple based on fandoms, which is, you know, pretty interesting. So you have, you know, Neo Otaku City is totally autonomous, and in one of its neighboring competing nation states is what was it again? It was
Prestige Television City.
Prestige Television City is kind of like the anti Neo Otaku City. So you know, instead of Fumos, they have Funko Pops over there.
Yeah.
And everyone is really big into Breaking Bad and American television.
American Dad,
yes, and yeah. Family Guy.
And Family Guy. I don't know what the fuck to say about Anime Crime.
This
division.
It's one of the
worst things I've seen, yeah. But also one of the best things I've seen.
One other important piece of information. This A Hot Pile of Garbage was produced by Crunchyroll. This is one of the first Crunchyroll exclusives that they... So the money that you gave Crunchyroll, assuming that it would go like support the anime industry, this is what they spent it on. They created this.
Yeah, actually, I have something to say about that.
This is like almost worse. I just thought they like donate your money to like BLM or something, but like this is worse.
Yeah,
the story behind it is Freddie Wong approached Crunchyroll with like an idea for a 2-minute ad for it, where he's like, oh, they'll be like detectives and like solving anime crimes. It was just supposed to be like a 2-minute video to like sponsor Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll loved the idea so much they funded 2 seasons of a TV show.
Right. Yes. And you know, Freddie Wong, he said, I can't do this on my own. I can't stretch this idea out this much on my own. So he hired the man that wrote Borderlands 2. A notoriously loud game. To help.
You remember where all the witty dialogue lines, they sound familiar for a reason. You know, one of the biggest expectation shatterer for me going into this was, you know, I expected Anime Crimes Division to be like a Law and Order SVU, where they, you know, like the anime lollies, you know, they got raped and the police, you know, go like try to investigate who did. Well, I mean, I was just thinking, I was like, okay, well, like, what would an anime...
Well, Corbo did it,
obviously. Corbo did it, but what would be an anime crime? I don't know, maybe, like, you looted a character you weren't supposed to loot or something like that would be an anime crime, and, like, you know, the FBI has to track down who did it. Or maybe you, like, pirated an anime or something like that, or you used ad block on Crunchyroll, you know, something like that. Those would be, you know, anime crimes. No, that's not it. Instead, it's like more like in NCIS or NCSI, whatever it is. The they solve like murders and shit, but the murders are all anime themed. So like, there's an episode where there's a serial killer who goes around killing people's Gunpla models. The detectives, like, you know, they go on the scene and they see the torn apart Gundam and they, like, vomit because they've never seen a crime that horrendous. And then there's other crimes they solve where someone just straight up fucking shot somebody. Like a real person, you know, shot him in the head, and they didn't seem too fazed by that.
Yeah.
Until they found out that, like, the killer, like, wasn't robbing him. He was, like, reenacting the top 10 saddest anime deaths.
Yes.
On real people. And it's really retarded.
It's pretty bad.
It's just like stupid, but like trying to be funny in a Borderlands 2. It's written in a very Borderlands 2 kind of way. Luckily they did not have the director of Borderlands 2. Luckily he was not in charge of sound design. And I'm at least thankful for that, because that game is just, it's too loud. There's just too many sounds going on at once. And when you turn the game music volume down to zero, the problem is that it's so loud that it's still, like, ringing in your head. And you can't actually stop hearing the music until, like, 20 minutes after you've shut your computer off. Then you don't hear Borderlands 2 music anymore. This anime luckily did not, or this TV show didn't have that issue. Now there's a lot of problems.
Yeah, problems how so? Like, everything is kind of, well, I don't know, it's decently shot. Freddie Wong, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
directors out there, I think that's fair to say. Disco Jejun, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. He's up there with Doug Walker.
He's up there.
Right. I would say that they did an effective job of sound. I mean, because everyone that they hired to be an actor for this is very cringe, but they did do a pretty good job salvaging, you know, these people's inability to act by, I guess they whipped them into shape somehow and made them pull off a pretty convincing performance. You know, I was really... Towards the end of season 2, you know, I really felt like I was living in Neo Otaku City and it was real, you know.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about our favorite character of the cast?
Just do the cast in general.
Go through the cast.
We have our main character, fat Korean man. I'm going to be honest, I've seen this 3 times now. I can't remember the protagonist's name.
It's,
me neither.
I don't know.
I just called him Powder Keg. I just called him Powder Keg the whole time.
Because the whole time of the show, in season 2, he gets like a shock collar that activates whenever he like feels happy about anime. So the whole show, he's like,
no, I don't actually like anime, no.
But then, you know, at the end, he reveals his love for anime and it saves the day. As you know.
Right, when he goes Super Saiyan.
Oh, his name's Joe.
Oh, it's Joe. Yeah.
Joe.
Just remember Diesel, his partner's name.
Yeah, well...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, his partner, yeah, he's got this, like, kind of, like, bull-dyke lesbian woman as his partner, and her name is Diesel, and... She's just ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that they had to draw from a crowd of, you know... people that go to anime conventions, but I mean, they could have got Pan Chan, you know, play this role instead. Yeah. would have greatly improved the quality of it. Yeah. I think one of the funnier visual gags in the show was there was an episode where they had to investigate a gang turf war that was happening between the Subber gang and the Dubber gang. And when the police went to go, question the witnesses from the Sub gang, the Sub gang talks in Japanese and the subtitles just appear on the screen, on the screen like real subtitles would. They like manifest physically in the world being filmed, so just, you know, text just is appearing in 3D space in the show. And that was a funny visual
to be fair. When I'm president and, you know, all the Filipino girls come here, they will come with subtitles.
Right, yeah, we'll make sure to give them subtitles. The Dubber gang had a similar visual gag where they were talking in English, but, like, flapping their mouths to Japanese. What they did was they recorded them, like, talking in Japanese and then just dubbed over it with, like, a white voice actor, and that kind of also looks pretty funny because they just
talk like that. Yeah, jokes from, like, 2005, basically.
Right.
That's not really an issue in dubs. That hasn't really been an issue since, like, maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy I knew in high school who kind of did the same joke. And he said, I did, because he made, like, this short video. He's like, oh, I was doing all of the classic anime tropes. So this is kind of like what people who've never seen anime think. Anime is like.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, and the show bills itself as being written by anime fans for anime fans, but it's kind of like in the same sense that, like, the people on Twitter and Tumblr who redraw Uzaki-chan as, like, a fat black woman, it's kind of like how they pretend to be anime fans is the same as all the people on this show pretend to be anime fans. You're a Crunchyroll employee, so you're kind of lower than dirt. When it comes to the rankings in the community, if you want to call it that, in the movement.
Yeah, there is our favorite character, though, Officer Vink. I think...
Oh, yes.
I think it's fair to say he's everyone's favorite Disco, right?
He has great screen presence and, like, a charisma to him that none of the other cast has.
Every time you saw him, you noticed him, you know?
Yeah, well,
like, I can't say that about anyone else.
It cuts to reaction shots, and he's like, he's always going like, yes! Like, shaking his fist. Like, he keeps you excited.
Yeah. Officer Vink is, like, the best hype man. He should have been, like, the hero of the show. I guess he really is in the end. I'm going through info about this. I forgot Saber from How to Draw Hentai featuring Saber was in this show.
Oh, yeah. Saber from How to Draw Hentai featuring Saber fame shows up in one scene to bid on an auction for a Pokemon card. And the anime crime that episode
is the Yu-Gi-Oh card, dude.
Yu-Gi-Oh card, yeah. The anime crime that episode Super is Saiyan an auction. Yeah, there was an auction for an ultra rare Yu-Gi-Oh card, Super Saiyan Dark Magician, and a thief stole it and replaced it with a Diglett. And so they hold this auction starting at like $200,000 for this card or whatever, and it's like a fucking Diglett. And Saber jumps up and screams that this is bullshit and that's a Diglett, not a Super Saiyan.
No, she actually screams, I'd rather eat shit.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what she said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Saber is famous for eating shit.
Right. Absolutely. That's the first and last time we see her character. Also, no one else at the entire auction was dressed up in cosplay.
Yes, there were. There was a tuxedo mask.
Tuxedo hat. Yeah. It just kind of, I don't know, it seemed like they ran out of budget halfway through every 2-minute episode.
They were like 10 minutes.
10 minutes or so.
It felt like 2 hours. If you put it all together, it's an hour and a half, so it's like feature film length.
This is a feature
film. Right. You could treat it as like a shitty movie. It definitely, you know, I would probably, if I had to recommend, you know, this movie to someone, I would, I would say, like, let's say you were gonna watch, you know, 7 hours of Doug Walker movies, I would maybe throw this one in the mix about halfway through to just give you a little palate cleanser and remind you how much more superior Doug Walker's directing is than all of the staff at Crunchyroll.
Alright, I mean, here's the thing. Freddie Wong is the only real YouTuber, okay? I don't want to hear that shit. Freddie Wong is great. He's very talented. And I'm not going to let you slander his name, Frank.
I do really like the introduction of the plot device that shocks him whenever he thinks about anime in a positive way. I think that's very funny.
Yeah.
That definitely provided, you know, it really made the show relatable, you know, as we do. We do have a friend of the show, Powder Keg, who does like to pretend sometimes that he does not like anime, but, you know, one of these days he'll have to go Super Saiyan to save the Neo Otaku City.
Yeah.
So, kind of like a foreshadowing of that.
This has, like, not much of a story except for the last couple episodes of season 2.
Yeah, it falls into that problem that a lot of movies fall into where you get to the sequel and you already have established the character, so the character sort of, like, falls back and is doing, like, I don't want to do what I did in the first movie. But they always come around at the end, so I think suffers from that, having him take sort of a backseat to the story. But at least you have supporting characters like Diesel and Officer Vink to kind of guide you through that.
Right.
Yeah, we got a big twist from Officer Vink later on that I'm not going to spoil.
We don't really want to spoil the whole plot of this movie because, you know, it is, it's definitely... We would hate for you to not get to watch it yourself, you know?
This feature film.
I do want to spoil one thing, though.
Yes,
when it comes to the... When they're recreating the saddest anime deaths, they do the most classic anime death to the main character, Joe, in which there's a gun attached to his VR headset.
Yeah.
The classic anime death.
Yeah, remember from... One Piece.
When they tie a gun to Luffy's head when he's playing solitaire VR.
Every single gag.
1200. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, every gag in every episode, make sure to go out of its way to tell you exactly what it's referencing, in case you haven't watched all of the animes featured on Crunchyroll. I think the only anime they reference that's not featured on Crunchyroll is Initial D, but they might have that up there by now. They did make a couple Initial D references.
Do they have Psycho Pass on Crunchyroll? They do not.
They don't.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there's a cool scene where he pulls out the gun from Psycho Pass, and they say, "Wow, that's the gun from Psycho Pass."
Yes.
Yeah, and then a better scene where he gets another version of the gun from Psycho Pass, and he says, "This is another version of the gun from Psycho Pass, but this one fires real bullets."
Yes.
And it has a sticker that says, "This one fires real bullets" on it.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Can I bring up some shit that, like, pissed me off in this show or whatever?
Go ahead.
So I had two fucking problems. One was, as a Digimon head, I caught this detail and it fucking pissed me off. So the girl character, Diesel or whatever her name is, she wears, like, the crest tags from the Digimon anime or whatever. And so, like, at the start of the show, she's wearing the fucking friendship tag. And, like, they change based on, like, what arc she's going through. And, like, halfway through, she gets, like, she changes it to, like, the hope symbol. And then, like, at the very end, it's the fucking courage symbol. And I wanted to, like, punch my monitor. Because, like, that was, like, actually subtle. And, like, I got that. And I wanted to, like, fucking blow my brains out. And then the other one was there's like this bad guy who's like a Corbo grandma, and they like gave her a weird window of like her cleavage, and it was like really awkward and uncomfortable, and it felt like Corbo was like back in the director's seat with that. Like, I didn't like that villain character at all, and like I just wanted that to end.
The leader of Prestigion T, what the fuck is it,
Prestige TV City.
I'm Prestigion, I can't talk good.
Now Prestige TV City, also they have a kind of an undercover spy unit that goes to anime land and tries to subvert it, called the Toxic. Clearly a Gamergate reference. I'm pretty sure there was a couple Gamergate references smattered throughout the anime to remind us that Crunchyroll hates all the people that pay for it. But so Toxic goes through and pretending. The gimmick is that they're pretending to be anime fans, but like they're like using gatekeeping to kick out other people that are anime fans from Neo Otaku City because they're like not purist enough, and that's kind of retarded because we're the only people that were actual anime fans. The other people were just kind of like shitbag secondaries. And nobody likes secondaries, really. So
what is a secondary?
Secondaries are people that like the thing I like for the wrong reason, and also they started liking it last month. Anyone that becomes a fan of your thing after you did is a secondary.
Oh, I gotta bring something up guys, actually. So the toxic dudes, they have the biohazard tattoo, but apparently, I learned this from that GIFT documentary. If you have that tattoo, that means you're HIV positive.
I thought it was a Full Metal Alchemist tattoo.
I guess the guys in Full Metal Alchemist are HIV positive.
No, it wasn't.
Damn.
It's highly likely that a lot of the characters in this show are HIV positive.
Yeah.
Except for Freddie Wong.
Or I guess it isn't. I don't know what... I don't remember...
Anyway, the opening.
The openings, they do them like a traditional anime opening, except they use live action people, and it looks really goofy.
Yeah. That's kind of a problem with anime parodies, is people, especially people that don't watch anime or have only seen, like, a few animes, like Sword Art Online and, like, stuff like that. Netflix people, Crunchyroll people, whatever. Whenever they try to mimic anime style of things, they just like fuck it up. Anime isn't really shot much different from like a normal film. Like, the rules of cinematography apply to animation the same way they do a film. You know, you're still supposed to shoot it the same way. It's just drawn. Right. But people don't get this. They do like a bunch of quick cuts and shit that just doesn't look like anime. It just looks stupid. This is why when a good like adaptation to live action of an anime is made, it doesn't, like, people can look at it and say, oh, this is a movie, this isn't an anime movie.
Well, it's also like with manga, like
Old
Boy or like Ichi the Killer, like those look like movies. You wouldn't even realize that they came from manga.
Yeah, I think most people don't know those are based off of manga. Definitely with Old Boy. I don't know. It's just something that I've noticed, and it's not, I don't know. I don't know if I'd say it's a bad thing. I guess it is. It's kind of shitty. It's just lazy. It's just not really understanding the art form you're trying to pay homage to.
I'm revisiting the TV Tropes page on this series, and it reminds me of probably the worst visual gag in the whole thing. The main character, Powder Keg, instead of smoking cigarettes, he smokes sticks of Pocky.
Yes. But doesn't smoke them, just eats them.
He just eats them, but, like, he utilizes boxes of Pocky similar to cigarettes. So he, like, pulls his little Pocky out of his shirt pocket, and people comment on this saying, you're back on the Pocky again, and he's like, well, I quit for like a month, but job is just too stressful. And then mm-hmm. sticks the pocky in his mouth like a cigarette, but then continues to eat it anyway. It's a really retarded gag. It's not even like a fucking anime reference. Like, I don't remember any anime where people like eat pocky as like an addictive habit. That's retarded.
Well, a little background on that. That is the joke where this whole series came from. Freddie Wong thought of that as like a gag, and that's what made him pitch it to Crunchyroll.
I see.
Because he thought it'd be like funny. But I mean, the whole thing is he just wanted to make a two-minute video.
The bar in the Neo Otaku City does not serve alcohol. Like, I mean, it could have made them sell sake or anything. Instead, they sell ramune, which is the, it's like the dumb, like, Japanese drink you can buy at the dollar store. It's got a little marble in it, so that if you spill it, it'll seal up.
Well, I mean, these are otaku. They're not real Japanese.
It's weeaboo 101 things, I guess. It's high school. It's high school anime club things.
Yeah. Oh. Yo, Frigg, I remembered there was an Initial D reference. It's in one of the eye catches.
Yeah. It's like a bumper at the beginning of an episode where it plays the Initial D bumper music, but instead of saying Initial D, it says APED.
Yeah, or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah,
ACD. Yeah.
It says HIV.
Yeah, they do a Sailor Moon one. Yeah. They do a lot of them.
Yeah, they just reference all the like anime back commercial bumpers.
Yeah, Dragon Ball definitely.
Who's that officer?
I thought the scene.
It's obviously Officer Bank.
When they made Officer Powder Keg do going Super Saiyan. They didn't really explain how him going Super Saiyan like allowed him to defeat the computer thing that was. So basically, later on in the series, the Toxic Group installs like a filter on the fiber optic internet for the city that will allow them to shut off the flow of anime. And you know, Power Keg steps up to the plate and goes Super Saiyan to stop the computer from shutting the anime off. They don't really explain how those two connect in any way. He goes Super Saiyan, and then the anime comes back, I guess. It's really fucking weird. Also, his Super Saiyan looked more like he was reenacting the Star Wars Emperor Palpatine using the hand lightning. It looked more like that than it looked anything. Like, he didn't turn white, and that's kind of like, that's what I was expecting the visual gag to be. You know, if he's gonna be an Asian man going Super Saiyan, then he has to also get, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, actually, the gag wasn't that he was going Super Saiyan. It was supposed to be, like, Mob Psycho.
Yeah, he really liked anime.
Yeah, his love of anime was going higher and higher. But yeah, they should have just given him Super Saiyan hair.
They might as well have just... I mean, he said that he was going to go Super Saiyan. He was remembering a memory from his childhood where he tried to go Super Saiyan. And, they frequently bring up this like reference to like his friend from when he was a child, forcing him into ridiculous contracts. Like, you have to promise me that one day you're going to go Super Saiyan to save the city on exactly December the 12th at this time, and you have to sign this contract here stating that you will do this, and you definitely won't forget about this promise. Okay, I'll do that. And they bring that one up like 15 times in the last episode. It's very funny.
So would everyone recommend anime Crime Detective? Disco, you go first.
I'd recommend it. I think it's something everybody needs to see at least once in their life. It's you're going to get like a sort of understanding of the world that you won't get from quite anything else.
Yeah. Frigg?
I mean, I would say that it's worth watching, you know, just to, you know, you have to know your enemy. And, I think that watching this show will help to radicalize you and remind you what these people took from us and why we hate them. And so for that reason, you know, I would actually, not only would I watch it, I would try to force your friends to watch it with you as well.
Yeah, as we all did.
To push them along the radicalization pipeline. Becoming, you know, copycat attackers.
Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh. Shenjun, you would be very
well. Compounding what Frigg was saying, yeah, you can't watch this alone. You gotta force a friend to suffer through it with you. I mean, I made Frigg watch it a second time with me because I kind of fell asleep and didn't catch it the first time. I'd also recommend maybe schlonking some fentanyl and some Janker before you see that. That'd probably make it a lot less painful. You might actually find some enjoyment of it after you kill 50% of your brain cells.
I thought it was very funny. Not intentionally, but it was funny watch because it was so shitty. It has everything like a shitty like anime thing should have. It has like terrible e-celebs in it. It has like we didn't even mention Mother's Basement was in this.
The arch nemesis of the Weebcast.
The arch nemesis of the Weebcast. Some loser we make fun of a lot. But there's like a bunch of like shitty e-celebs in it, which is always funny. There's just terrible jokes. It's fun. It's fun to watch. I've shown it to several people, and I'm probably going to show it to more people. And I hope you do the same.
Yeah. I think there's somebody else you forgot to ask about what they thought about the series.
Fumo Frigg?
Oh, it's me, Fumo Frigg!
What did you think of Anime Crimes Division, Fumo Frigg?
I thought it was pretty good. I put it on and I got her done.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, I'm heading out right now. I'm a head out. All right, y'all have a nice one. Oh, okay. Oh.
Bye, Fumo Frigg.
Bye, Fumo Frigg.
Goodbye.
That was Anime Crimes Division, I guess. Highly recommended from everyone. Wait. You can find us on Twitter. I'm BigTony1611. Shenjun is Autistic Genius. Fucking Frigg is... What's it?
At Based Frignat. And I've also started streaming pretty regularly now on DLive. You can find me there at DLive.tv/Frignator.
Yeah, I usually stream during the day, and Frigg will stream at night.
I'll stream at random times throughout the day. I like to keep you on your toes, so just press F5 on the page continuously until you check online.
Just follow both of us on DLive. And Disco, you are... tell everyone where they can find you and your show.
It's on Twitter at Disco Kino, and you can just Google Kino Quickly on... I think I'm on most podcast sites, and if you don't see me on there, just you can see it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube also.
It's one of the first things that shows up when you Google it.
Jejun, do you have your card thing to show?
Oh yeah, check out Outlaw's mailbox at Outlaw Otaku, episode number 2, No Nut November edition. We're slowly getting some production values. Excellent thumbnail made by the host Tony himself. It looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, those are fun. I highly recommend Outlaw's mailbox. Very fun. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
There's a time for talk and a time for action. You're wasting time toeing the line. Don't be surprised when your seat at the table vanish. My life disorganized, I fail to plan shit. So when I'm sliding, can't be crying. Most of the time, can't seem to manage. Vices are nicest, like fuck the prices. I'll buy the bitch with drinks on ices. The cabs and condos might die tomorrow. I swear the thoughts don't give me sorrow. A lot of days I wanna leave, so what's some time to borrow? Ready to cash in, no spare change for funeral or casket. Just drop me in the oven like they gas me. But don't gas bitches if they be fucking for flat fees. Pussy hit so often that it got PTSD and all sorts of STDs. She ain't worth the cheese, been ran through like she practiced for the track team. Hard times hit you like being smacked by a crack fiend who's on one. I spit game to a bitch just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I spit game to a bitch just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I spit game to a bitch, just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I spit game to a bitch, just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I'm greasy and sleazy, it ain't hard to please me. B-U-G squad, I smack a bitch if she's teasing. Give me pro service, do not use your teeth. Just relieve me, then leave me. Goodbye, take it easy. I swear I'm trying to keep a stronger message, to stay cemented when it seems that my life lacks direction. Fast extension of my hands, grasping to catch the last blessing. Fucked around chasing hoes, man, I missed out on confession. Don't play with lust, that's a deadly ass sin. Go and ask all the ladies, hitting 30 with no men. Or check the CDC numbers on all the bugs lurking. Make you suit up in the hazmat if she start twerking. Matter of fact, smash her pass. 10 times out of 10, I smash pass on your nasty trash ass. For every tattoo, 50 dudes have smashed. And once she pass 5, that bitch is out of lifelines, oh my. I speak game to a bitch just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I speak game to a bitch just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I spit game to a bitch just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit. I spit game to a bitch just like this. You don't know me, but fuck me like you owe me this shit.